Greetings, I'm Brad Thomas, and this is Christ's Resurrection of Life, Body. Welcome. I'm going to be sharing with you today from the book of the Revelation of St. John the Divine. The book of the revelation of God the Father to God the Son, Jesus Christ, to his holy angel, which he gave to the apostle, the beloved disciple John, to give to the church, to the seven churches. I'll be sharing with you from the passages referenced as being chapters 21 and 22. And so beginning with the passage listed as being chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And he said unto me, "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, "Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. And on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof. And the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square. And the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second, sapphire, the third, a chalcedony, the fourth, an emerald, the fifth, sardonyx, the sixth, sardius, the seventh, chrysolite, the eighth, beryl, the ninth, a topaz, the tenth, a chrysoprasus, the 11th, a jacinth, the 12th, an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And continuing with what is listed as chapter 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The end. Or, as it says in Tyndale's, the end of the New Testament. But, returning to the beginning of the passage, which is listed as being chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Now, in the preceding passage, which is listed as chapter 20, it was stated that I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And here it is worded, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. Now there are those, ministers, pastors, theologians, doctors of the law, illustrious theologians, who teach contrary to God's word, including very definitely, positively, profoundly contrary to the word of God in the book of Revelation. Again, some make it out that it is all a matter of allegory. It is all poetic license. It is metaphor upon metaphor. Or that it is all already taken place. Long ago, all of the prophecies that were going to be fulfilled were fulfilled already, which is really preposterous on a scale of, you know, one to infinity. It's infinity. But one of the false teachings in the church is that, contrary to the word of God, the earth and the heaven do not disappear, do not flee away, do not pass away. Now, as it's worded here from what is listed as being Revelation 6:14, with reference only to the heavens, It is that they departed as a scroll is rolled up. But even though it only refers to the heavens, it is instructive. Here, it explicitly states that the earth and the heaven fled away. They fled away from the presence of the face of God Almighty, and no place for them was found. Tyndale expresses it almost identically. The revisers, translators of the King James Version tweaked it a hair. But it's that there was no place found any longer for them, for heaven and earth. No place found for them. And then, in the passage listed as the 21st chapter, it stated that the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And yet there is this false teaching that, well, no, it's not really that. It's that the earth is singed, burned, and then regenerated, renewed, which is diametrically, utterly, totally contrary to the Word of God. But some brilliant theologians have come up with that gem and have spread it about. And they have any number of followers repeating that damnable lie. And as it is stated at the end of the passage listed as chapter 22, that if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written therein. It's also added that if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Suffice to say that those learned theologians have a surprise in store for them. But I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, departed, fled away, passed away, vanished away. These are the terms that are used in the King James Version, Authorized Version, and the Tyndale's New Testament. Nowhere does it say changed, transformed, renewed, restored. Nowhere. This is really a microcosm of the lies that have been introduced into the Word of God, into the church. Just one small case in point, you could say, in which learned theologians, doctors of the law, and all of those who hang on their every word have changed and corrupted and perverted and supplanted the true Word of God. Why? Because Satan is hell-bent on overthrowing the finished work of God and Christ, and does everything in his power to subvert the Word of God, to destroy the credibility of the Word of God, to blind the eyes and pervert the words of the followers of Christ. There was no more sea. A new heaven and a new earth, and no more sea, no more oceans. no more great, vast bodies of water. None. Imagine that. Imagine this earth minus any oceans. That's not what's being talked about here, because if we took this earth, this old earth, which still is a young earth compared to what the brilliant scientists and various theologians foist upon us, it's not billions of years old. It's not millions of years old. It's not hundreds of thousands of years old. But it's the old earth compared to the new earth that will take its place after this earth has been dispensed with, discarded. But the matter of no sea, you know, it's not a matter of God draining the oceans and draining the seas. Can you imagine that? You know, there are places in the ocean that are more than a mile deep. Just imagine the coastlines. Imagine what that would be like. The oceans drained, dried. It would be a very, very strange earth. That's not what's being talked about here. This is instead an earth without there having ever been any oceans, without there having ever been any seas, without there having ever been any enormous lakes, huge bodies of water. The only body of water that is spoken of is a river of pure water. But I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So first we have John saying, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. This is after what he has said in the previous passage, that there was a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. That takes place first. The earth and the heaven flee away from the presence of God. Disappear forever. Oh, brother, we know better than that. We know that matter cannot be destroyed, does not disappear. Oh, really? Well, then you are God. We should take your word instead of the word of God. But first we have John saying this. This earth and the heavens pass away. Flee away, and no place is found for them. They disappear, or as Tyndale says, vanish away in another place. But now we have John saying, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And he emphasizes, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, fled away, vanished away, gone, and no place found for them, and a new heaven and a new earth appeared. And now John says, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. So the New Jerusalem comes down from God out of heaven onto the new earth that has just appeared prior to this. the New Jerusalem, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband, comes down from God out of heaven onto the new earth. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and God will dwell with them, and they shall be God's people." And God himself shall be with them and be their God. So though God is in heaven, you know, we always hear that. God is in heaven, understandably so. But here we have just this incredible change. This earth, the heavens pass away, places found for them no longer. They are gone forever, for infinity. A new heaven and new earth appear. The new Jerusalem comes down from God out of heaven onto this earth. And a voice out of heaven proclaims, "Behold the tabernacle of God." The New Jerusalem is with men, and God will dwell with them. Not just be away in heaven, but dwell with them in the tabernacle of God in the New Jerusalem on the new earth. And they, the people, the elect, the chosen, those whose names are written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, they shall be God's people, and God himself shall be with them. Not just away in heaven, but be with them in the tabernacle of God, the new Jerusalem on the new earth. And he shall be their God. This is an enormous, exceedingly great change. How many times have we heard things like concerning the Islamist terrorist attacks of September 11th, 2001, that everything changed? Nothing shall ever be the same again. We shall never forget. On and on. Everything changed. And then we've heard that, of course, with regard to this coronavirus. Everything changed. Nothing shall ever be the same. All of this extreme hyperbole, extreme hype, extreme overstatement, and downright falsehood and lies. Or we hear, well, this is unprecedented, and that is unprecedented. Guess what? God is the one who does unprecedented things. God is going to change everything. And God shall wipe away all tears from the eyes of those who inherit eternal life in his kingdom. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. No more disease, no more accidents, no more collisions, no more violence, no more murder, no more mayhem. All that the evil ones trust in is taken away. No power to inflict harm on anyone. They won't be there. And they will be powerless, unarmed. And God's people, God's children who have suffered so terribly under all of these terrible regimes that there have been and that there are, and the one that is coming, shall suffer no more. Not because they no longer exist, not because God's people are done away with, no. They shall inherit eternal life. But there shall be none of the sufferings of this earth that has passed away, of this age that has passed away. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass away, so said the Lord. And yet again, brilliant Christian theologians would have us believe that, oh no, this earth will not pass away. Heaven will not pass away, and on it goes. We can choose to believe the lies of the hireling ministers, hack ministers, and the wolves in sheep's clothing if we choose to, but we cannot do so with impunity. There is a price to pay for choosing to believe the lies of the liars, instead of believing the word of God. This is why it's critically important for us to take advantage of the inestimably great gift of reading the Bible instead of being dependent on the teaching of this minister or that pastor or this evangelist or that televangelist or this so-called prophet or that priest or that cardinal or that bishop or that archbishop or that pope. It is critically important that we read the Word of God so that we not be led astray, so that we not be deceived. Satan's number one tool in his arsenal, in his warfare against God and Christ and the Bible, is deception, deceit, lies. That's the number one tool. More than violence is deception, deceit, and lies. Craft. Witchcraft. But, you know, every age, supposed age, generation, what have you, gets a title. Oh, this is the age of technology. This is the age of communications. This is the age of this, that, and the other thing. Well, this is the age of lies, of deception, of deceit, of indoctrination by propaganda. But it is not the first age that has been marked by these things. But this age is more absolutely overflowing with that worldwide than ever before. Why? Because we are so near the end. And he that sat upon the throne, God Almighty, said, "Behold, I make all things new." Only God Almighty can make that claim. Only God. Not man. Not scientists. Not captains of industry. Only God. Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Unlike the lies that we continually, constantly are bombarded with, the words of God Almighty are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Freely. Not going to charge you for it. Everyone who inherits eternal life is given the same great gifts. That's not to say that some may not be given some additional honor or something like that. But all who inherit eternal life are given the same great, inestimably great gifts. To inherit the new Jerusalem on the new earth. To be in the presence of God Almighty and his Holy Son, Jesus. To partake of the water of life freely from the fountain of the water of life. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. All who inherit eternal life shall inherit all things. It's not a matter of classes, what strata of society you're in. All shall inherit all things and shall inherit them, truly inherit them, receive them, freely. He that overcometh, that is the price tag. The cost is beforehand. He that overcometh, she that overcometh, only those who overcome shall inherit eternal life. What is that overcoming? Is that military? Something like that? No. Is that succeeding in business? No. It is overcoming over all of the lies, the works of the devil, being faithful unto death, if it should come to that. And for many, it will. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. She shall be my daughter. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, of course, there are learned theologians and others who teach that, well, if you have ever said anything that was less than true, then you are a liar. This is not what's being referred to here. Contrary to various illustrious teachers who, of course, themselves have never, ever committed such a transgression. This is referring to those who lie and lie and lie. It is their nature to lie. Satan came only to steal and murder and destroy. He is the father of lies. So too, the fearful. This has a different meaning than what we might suppose. It's not that heaven, the New Jerusalem on the new earth, is going to be a place only for the bravest of the brave. No. Only for those who have never feared. No. Many great acts of heroism are performed by many people who are gripped with fear before and during their heroism. This is a different matter. This is a matter of the fearful being like the unbelieving, being those who allow their fear to cause them to worship the beast, to take the mark, the name, the number of the beast in their right hand or their foreheads, to subjugate themselves to Satan and his servants out of fear. Out of unbelief. It's interesting for those who are used to and upset about always hearing mention of horror and whoredom, that here it doesn't mention whores, it mentions whoremongers. Users of whores, customers of whores, whoremongers is what is mentioned here, and sorcerers. Now, in the book of Daniel, there is mention of sorcerers, seers, Chaldeans, and so forth. Those engaged in using witchcraft in this day and age, this is very frequently referred to as spiritualism. It is the opposite of anything spiritual, but it is listed as being spiritual. Being spiritualistic. It is diametrically opposite of spiritual. And yet, it is called that. But all of those engaged in witchcraft and, perchance, those who are enamored with it and who are entertained by it and what have you. And then idolaters. And again, there are a great many pastors, ministers, who they preach against idolatry of If you love your wife too much, she's an idol. If you love your husband too much, then he's an idol. If you love your children too much, they're an idol. And all of this profane, damnable excuse of ministry and of preaching and of teaching. You cannot love your wife too much, your husband too much, your children too much. You do not get that from the Bible. You cannot love your parents too much, but you can love them too little. You can love God too little. Loving your wife, your husband, your children, your parents, does not preclude loving God in any way, shape, or form. And failing to love your wife, your husband, cannot be excused as being because you can't engage in idolatry, and because you have to love God, you know, first, foremost, and with everything, and there's not enough love left over for your husband or wife. That is absolute falsehood, but it is spread through the church by various hireling ministers, and worse. The fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Oh, that is just allegory, brother. That is just metaphor. That isn't true. God is love. Oh, there's grace. Oh, there but for the grace of God go I. And so forth. No, this is the true word of God. God, who is true and faithful, right? For these words are true and faithful. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. But before I continue with that, let me just go back to the previous paragraph or sentence. This matter of being relegated to burning in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, this is the second death. For all of those who imagine that they can escape some comparatively minor suffering, embarrassment, shame, humiliation, disgrace, what have you, on this earth in this lifetime by taking their own life, there are worse things, such as the second death in the lake of fire and brimstone. Only in corrupt, perverse, ungodly, anti-godly, anti-Christian societies like modern Western nations that permit, that legalize and permit that allow and permit the promotion of suicide for people that are suffering, including in the Netherlands, including teenagers who are depressed. How damnable is that? But that's how far gone things are in former Christendom. To bring about eternal damnation for young people, children, because they're depressed. Unbelievable. These are the worst of times. Never have there been such dark times as there are now. But they shall become darker before they become light. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. This is the new earth. Interesting, the description. He carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain. God's word tells us that the present earth on which we live, that before it passes away, before it flees away and no place is found for it, before it vanishes away, before it departs away, every mountain shall disappear and every island shall disappear. But every mountain shall disappear, shall fall flat. The surface of the earth shall be flattened. There shall be no mountains. And of course, we are taught, carefully taught, that, well, the mountains were formed by this and that, but to a significant extent by volcanic eruptions. But guess what? The new earth spoken of here has just come down from heaven. It hasn't been spinning around in space for billions of years. Mountains forming and oceans forming and all of that. No. You can't get away with those excuses. And yet here there is a great and high mountain on this new earth. And this angel, this mighty angel, showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem. The new Jerusalem, descending out of the new heaven from God onto the new earth, having the glory of God, not of man, not of the sun, which no longer exists. Oh, but brother, matter cannot be destroyed. Really. Heaven has disappeared. The heavens have passed away, departed away, vanished away, been rolled up like a scroll. They are gone. The sun, the moon, the stars are gone. Oh, well, that can't be. That must be allegory or metaphor or something. No. These words are faithful and true. That great city, the holy Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem, uncorrupted, undefiled, unlike Jerusalem of old, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels. At every gate there was an angel, and names were written on the gates, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel, meaning the original 12 tribes of Israel. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Joseph, and Benoni, or Benjamin, the original 12 tribes of Israel, Jacob, Israel. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. And on the west, 3 gates. No difference. No. No special favor. All are favored. All of them are favored. There isn't special favor for one over another. They're all equal. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations. And in those 12 foundations, the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Not the 13 apostles, not the 14 apostles, not the 20 or 30 or 40 or 100 apostles. The 12 apostles. This is not including Judas Iscariot, who lost his bishopric. The one that was chosen to take his place was not Saul Paul, not Barnabas, nor one of the others, but Matthias. And yet, what do we read of Matthias in the New Testament? Oh, surely it must be Paul. No, it is not. What do we read of most of the apostles? Not that much. The Apostle John, the brother of James, Boanerges, used by God greatly, used by God to impart so very much to us. But most of the apostles we really don't read that much about. And he that talked with me, the angel, one of the seven exceedingly mighty angels, he talked with me having a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. This word that we have is thanks to God Almighty and His Holy Son, Jesus Christ, and His holy angel, and the Apostle John, the beloved disciple, son of Zebedee. But it is thanks to God's miracles that we have the Word of God to this day. Satan and his servants have done their utmost to abolish the Word of God. Islam has done its utmost in its service to its God, Satan, known as Allah, but Satan, to destroy the Word of God and destroy the servants of God. Fascism, communism, the branches of socialism have done their utmost to annihilate the servants of God and to abolish the Word of God. The Roman Catholic abomination did everything in its power to prevent the translation of the Bible into English, into language that the people, the common people, could read instead of being dependent on the Roman Catholic Holy See, the Vatican, the papacy, and thereby enslaved by their lies. It has been at the cost, the very dear cost, of lives of multitudes, including the likes of William Tyndale, that we have this incalculably precious gift of the Word of God, which has been corrupted and perverted by the likes of Westcott and Hort, in service to not just materialism and the world, but to Satan. The angel that talked with John had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof, and the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs, approximately, seemingly, and this is debatable because, after all, one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, 1,000 years as one day. Who is to say that these furlongs are only this, but seemingly this is referring to a distance of approximately 1,500 miles in any direction. Not only length and breadth, four square, but height. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. A cube of something, perhaps, approximating 1,500 miles. Can you imagine that? I can't, but maybe you can. That's the city. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. Of the angel, not your typical man. But imagine measuring that city. That sounds just so simple, doesn't it? He's got a measuring reed, a golden reed, and he measures it, and it's some distance like 1,500 miles? Nothing to it. I'll have that done before lunch. And meanwhile, the height of it is equal. So something perhaps on the order of 1,500 miles in height. But then there is a wall around it. And what is it? 1,500 miles? No. No. 144 cubits. Doesn't that seem curious to you that the wall, the high wall, is so short compared to the city? It is remarkable to me. But the building of the wall of it was of jasper. This jasper, we don't hear much about jasper stone in this day and age, do we? A stone most precious, clear as crystal. That's some stone, clear as crystal, most precious. The first foundation, jasper. The second, sapphire. Sapphire, sapphire blue, the second foundation, the third, a chalcedony, the fourth, an emerald, emerald green, brilliant sapphire blue, brilliant emerald green, the fifth, sardonyx, the sixth, sargis, the seventh, chrysolite, the eighth, beryl, the ninth, a topaz, the tenth, a chrysoprasus, the 11th, a jacinth, the 12th, an amethyst. Imagine that. Greater amounts of these precious stones than exists on this earth that we are on make up the foundations of the wall of the New Jerusalem. The sapphire, the emeralds, they are not adorning the wall. They are not at the top of the wall and along the wall and decorating the wall, adorning it. No, they're in the foundation. Can you imagine that? In the foundation of it. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. When have you ever heard of a pearl so enormous as one of these gates? Impossible. Ridiculous. Obviously, poetic license. Yes, with our small, petty thinking, obviously, poetic license. What else could it be? Because we are so ignorant and so low that we cannot comprehend such things. It is so far beyond our understanding. But that doesn't make it not so. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl per gate. That's what the gates were. Pearls. The street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Interesting, isn't it? That such exceedingly precious stones, metals, if you will, in the case of gold, that they were used in such ways to build foundations, to build gates, to build roads. Astonishing. The street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. We have never seen such gold. Well then, brother, you know, it's poetic license. No! No. We can reject the word of God. We can insist, oh, that can't be so. You know, like outstanding president, brilliant Thomas Jefferson, going through the New Testament and excising everything that he viewed as being a miracle. Of course, he ended up missing a lot of things because every time a prayer is answered, that is a miracle, among other things. Every time an angel of God speaks to a person, every time a person receives a vision from God, that is a miracle. But in any case, brilliant Thomas Jefferson excised all of these miracles from the Word of God. Suffice to say, his doing so means that if he had been eligible for inheriting eternal life in the kingdom of God, he did not, will not inherit eternal life in the kingdom of God. But he got rid of everything that he didn't believe. You know, so brilliant. You know, people question his morality, but what about his intellect? This brilliant man. So brilliant, so terribly brilliant. Yeah. And I saw no temple in the city. Imagine that. You know, this just goes counter, doesn't it? Contrary to what we've read in the Old Testament and the New. Namely, no tabernacle, which was very carefully described and crafted, created, put together. And then the temple, that again was very carefully described and built, constructed. And here we have the New Jerusalem from God, which has come down from the new heaven onto the new earth. And God Almighty has used the most precious stones in enormous quantities and the most precious metal, unlike anything ever seen, to we people, we sinful people. He's used those for foundations and gates and streets. And he does not build a temple. There is no temple. Astonishing. Really. I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Seated on thrones, but no temple. Imagine that, no temple to separate God Almighty and the Holy Son Jesus Christ from the people in this massive, spectacular, beautiful city. Unlike anything ever known on this sinful world, this sinful earth. I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. God the Father and God the Son are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. The glory of God the Father and the light of God the Son is the light thereof. in this massive city. We're not talking about them lighting up a room, lighting up an auditorium. They are lighting up a city that is something on the order of 1,500 miles long, broad, and high. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the light of it is the light of God the Father and God the Son. Now, the next portion I take issue with. Yes, I do. The kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. Tell me, how many of the kings, forget about the kings of the earth, how many of the kings of Israel, the kings of the kingdom of Israel, then divided into the kingdoms of Judah and Israel, how many of those kings, those wonderful kings, how many of them were honorable, were glorious? How many? How many were righteous? How many were just? How many were God-fearing, God-serving to a fault? How many? Oh, David, brother, no. What are you talking about? I mean, he's got the Psalms, after all. He penned the Psalms. David, I found David, a man after my own heart. And look at the corruption, the depravity, the wickedness engaged in by David. Solomon. Solomon, no. No. Far from it. Hezekiah. Well, Hezekiah failed, didn't he? He failed royally, so to speak. So which kings are going to bring their glory and their honor into it? Any of the kings that make it into eternity, into the new Jerusalem, on the new earth, will do so by humbling themselves before the Lord God Almighty and his Holy Son Jesus, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest of the kings of Judah, hands down, as far as I'm concerned, was Josiah. All of his sons were wicked as his father was. Terrible, terrible, wicked king. With the possible exception of Jehoiakim, who was taken away after only 3 months at the ripe old age of 18, perhaps, and was taken away for his wickedness, but perhaps in the next, you know, 4 decades, perhaps he came to the Lord. Hezekiah, his wonderful son, Manasseh, as evil a king as there was. Oh, but the kings of the earth, they bring their glory and honor into it. Which kings are those? I really have trouble with that. They don't have glory and honor to bring into it. They're not going to be ruling and reigning. like they are something special, any kings that manage to make it in. No. They are going to be common folk. Common saints. That's all. And then the next passage. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. So the gates, these fabulous pearl gates, huge pearl gates, shall remain open constantly, continually. And they shall bring, they, who is they? Is they the kings again? They shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. Of which nations? Judah, Israel, you know, the apple of the Lord's eye, of God Almighty's eye, whom he caused to be destroyed because of their wickedness, their depravity, their rebellion against God, their bloodshed, their terrible, odious corruption, worshiping every devil on the face of the earth, sacrificing their children to these devils, turning the temple over to the Sodomites. Oh, but they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations of the heathens, of the pagans, of the infidels, do not have any glory or honor. The glory and honor of Judah and Israel was completely, utterly, totally dissipated and destroyed. As for the glory and honor of Christendom, that has been completely destroyed, debased, made depraved. So what glory and honor is going to come in? What glory and honor of kings and nations is there to bring into the undefiled, uncorrupt, spectacularly precious, amazing, unbelievably great New Jerusalem? They have no glory nor honor to add to it. They have none. When we leave this life, we do not take glory and honor with us. Meanwhile, those non-servants of God who were on the old earth, which was, again, that's relative, who were on the earth during the millennial reign of Christ, they went to war against the Lord Jesus Christ, even as had taken place ushering in prior to the millennial reign of Christ. This is not talking about the glory and honor of the servants of God. This is the glory and honor of the nations and the kings and their nations, and they don't have any. And it is a rare few kings that will be inheriting eternal life. But immediately following those passages, it says, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. Well, that eliminates almost all kings and queens and nations. But they which are written in the Lamb's book of life, only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life shall enter therein. So much for the glorious, honorable kings and nations. And in the passage listed as being chapter 22. And he showed me, this angel, this mighty angel, this exceedingly mighty, honorable, glorious angel, showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. God the Father, God the Son are seated on thrones. No temple. Thrones on the street through the city, the New Jerusalem, on the New Earth. And a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeded out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Of the nations, the multitudes, the tongues, the kindreds of peoples who inherit eternal life. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, shall be in New Jerusalem, and his servants shall serve him. The servants of God shall serve God the Father and God the Son. And those servants shall see the face of God. They shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. There's no room for the mark, the name, the number of the beast in the foreheads of those who inherit eternal life. But the name of God shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there. God reiterates this. There shall be no night there. And they, the people, who inherit eternal life in the kingdom of God, the New Jerusalem, they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And again, God emphasizes that there is no need of light of the sun. These things are so foreign to us, so different, so strange, so wonderful, so unimaginably great. And he, the angel, said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. Huh, where have I heard that before? You know? He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And here, the angel said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Unbelievable. This is the same thing that John did back. Gosh, it's just unbelievable. I just cannot imagine John doing this. I just can't. I mean, how is it possible that he does this? Back in the passage of Scripture listed as being chapter 19. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And yet, here we have. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. How is it possible that the apostle, the beloved disciple, John, did this twice, fell down before the feet of this exceedingly mighty angel? It's because he, it merges. I mean, the angel is saying the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, which are the words of God the Father to John. And John is so overwhelmed by it that it is as if it is coming directly from God. And he falls down to worship, but he falls down at the feet of the angel to worship. And he does it time and again. But worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. The time is at hand. Yes, it's been 2 millennia. 2 millennia. But the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, depraved, vile, lewd, profane, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. If they can survive to the coming of the Lord under the terrible onslaught of the servants of Satan. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And that goes double for that. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. Oh, brother, we don't believe in that. We are saved by grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. We don't believe in that. We believe in grace, grace. All is of grace. Well, that's nice, but fascinating how many times the Lord God Almighty, God the Father and God the Son refer to works. Now, the term, the word works, can certainly apply to a range of things. When certain who were listening to Jesus and who were not godly said, and I'm paraphrasing badly, but what must we work? What must we do that we may work the works of God? And Jesus said, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. That ye believe on him whom he hath sent. And then they immediately asked for Jesus to show them signs and so forth. But to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God Almighty hath sent, is working, per Jesus's words. That is a work, among others. There are many more, but that is one. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. So at a minimum, we are required to believe on him whom he hath sent. That is bare minimum. And believing on him whom he hath sent. That does not allow for explaining away the Word of God. Minimizing the Lord Jesus Christ. All manner of unrighteous, ungodly, downright wicked, dishonest, dishonorable works that myriad ministers and theologians engage in. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man, every woman, according as their work shall be. Every child. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. The first and the last. Man shall not be last, but God is first and last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, God's commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of pearl into the city. This is, you know, what is required to enter in. This is the cost to inherit eternal life. To be righteous still, to be holy still. Behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do God's commandments, Christ's commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the new Jerusalem on the new earth. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. That's what a liar is, according to the Lord God Almighty, is whosoever loveth lies and maketh lies. Dogs, sodomites. This is not referring to German shepherds, golden retrievers, poodles, beagles, and so forth. No. Sodomites. Without are sodomites. And sorcerers, witches, warlocks, druids, and whoremongers. Mongers and murderers, destroyers and idolaters, those who worship false gods, false religions, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie, just like Satan, the father of lies. All who worship false gods, which are, in point of fact, all really pseudonyms for Satan. All who worship Satan. All murderers, destroyers, who hate the good and seek to destroy them. Those who hate and seek to annihilate the people of God, the servants of God, the servants of Christ. They shall all be without. Without the city. Well, where is that? In the lake of fire and brimstone, which burneth forever. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Whosoever will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, worship the Lord Jesus Christ, serve and obey the Lord Jesus Christ, let him, let her take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man, every woman that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city, New Jerusalem, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Heavenly Father, Holy God, Lord and King, Master Savior, thou knowest no impossibilities. Nothing is too difficult for thee. There is nothing thou canst not do. Heavenly, holy God, lead us, guide us, direct us into all truth. Open the eyes of our understanding. Impart thy gift of faith to us, which can move mountains. Blessed be he who cometh in the name of the Lord, in spirit and truth, in word and deed, in power and might even so. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly and account us worthy to stand together before thee at thy coming and to serve thee together forever. In Jesus' beloved name, soon coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen.